I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Where do you wrestle most? Because you're wrestling something. And while you're pondering that personally, where you actually are wrestling right now, I want to address it collectively. Because here at His Place, celebrating struggle is a core component of our character. Because we believe with every fiber of our being that challenge grows you. And that failure teaches you. And that discomfort strengthens you. Boo hoo. I know. What else? Yeah, you name it. It does something bad stuff, does good stuff. Yeah. And if you've been here for more than just 1 week, then you know that one of our favorite places to wrestle here at His Place is with God's Word. So last week, when Bruce was about to launch into a stack of scripture, he paused to remind us that, listen, you don't have to agree, but you do have to think. And so when you heard that, I hope that you recognize that is the His Place equivalent of, let's get ready to rumble. Because that's what we do here. And what followed last week was some very compelling scripture that resolved some very interesting biblical contradictions, but it created an uncomfortable challenge for us. Was King David a dwarf? Yeah, that's weird, right? That changes everything. I remember coloring in Sunday school, and he was a full-sized man. So that's weird. That's weird. But here's the thing, okay? Regardless, whether your response was, how interesting, or how dare you, Bruce, the simple suggestion of it did get us all asking how, right? And either way, if we wanted to have our own opinion about it, it forced us to open our own Bible and get into our own struggle with Scripture. And that's our goal here at His Place. We want you fighting that book. Because that is definitely one way that God teaches. Like the psalmist says, likely David, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after being afflicted, but now I obey your word. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Okay, that's the process right there. For God wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. In fact, the Lord binds up the bruises of his people and heals the wounds. Yes, the wounds he inflicted. Youch. Because overcoming affliction, right? When we do that, when we overcome affliction, it grows us. And he knows that we need growth to live. So he's helping us down that path by, you know, giving us the affliction to overcome sometimes. So we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And that's how we get there. And so I love this idea. It was such a fun, like, you know, wrestling with that scripture, trying to make it make sense. I love the idea that David had this absurdly small size and that it could have actually been a God-given daily difficulty that taught him the extreme perseverance and character and hope that he needed, that prepared him to take on Goliath, all by design. And if a lifelong struggle with size is, in fact, what led David to become that expert slinger, right, because he had to, then it just makes sense that he would say, where he does say later on, praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Because that sounds like a guy who knew it wasn't going to be a big body that won his battles. But it also sounds like a guy who knew, as we all need to know, that God's training can be hidden in any of the circumstances that we're each born into, okay? So whether it's David's size and status or your personal struggle with Scripture or any other affliction that we have to endure, the point is this. Simple point, we all know this. Struggle builds strength. Right? That's how it happens. Physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, it's all the same. Struggle builds strength. All of our difficulties produce progress. as we endure them, especially when we embrace them and understand that our light and momentary troubles, which are allowed by a loving God because they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. All right? It's a tough scripture, but it's true. It's this temporary stuff. It's our struggles that serve God's purposes for us. Temporary troubles produce eternal glory. Okay? So what's the problem? Why is this so hard for us? If we know that the tough stuff is just the price that we pay for perfection later on, why can't we just stick it out down here? Well, here's the answer. You know it. Temporary does not feel temporary. Does this life feel short to you? I mean, some of you older folks are like, yeah, it's really just whizzing by. It does. It starts as you get older, but it's the longest experience that any human will ever have. Life, it's all we know down here. So it feels like it goes on forever and ever. It's the beginning and the end of everything that we can see. And the problem is this: affliction is only good if it has an end. Otherwise, it's literally hell. That's what it is. So we got to change how we see things. We have to see past this life, this temporary life. We have to see this life as temporary. Realize that it is just a drop in the bucket. Otherwise, we're going to try to prematurely end our affliction down here before we get its benefit. So don't do that. Beware of turning to evil, which you seem to prefer to affliction. Get it? If turning from evil or turning from affliction is evil, well, then the affliction is good. But we seem to want that. Yeah, we do, because it doesn't hurt nearly as much. But I'll tell you this. If you ask anyone with big muscles, you know, and we got a few of them around here. If you ask anyone with big muscles the secret to their strength, and they're all going to ultimately say the same thing, and it's this phrase, time under tension, right? Oh, I hate that. That sounds miserable, right? Time under tension. The longer that you struggle to hold something up, it sounds like a sick joke, but the more sustained the struggle, the more substantial the strength. Why does it have to work that way? I mean, that's just a bummer, isn't it? But it's the truth. That's how it works. We see it in all of the facets of our life. And if you want a very real world confirmation that God is an advocate of this approach to our training, well, then I would just ask you to look at his chosen people, okay? His chosen people, where he's like, I'm going to express the way that I do things through them. God's been Israel's personal trainer since the start. And yet, you would be very hard-pressed to find a group with more sustained struggles, right? They have battled, you know, to survive slavery and enemies and famine and the desert and slavery again. And then total destruction, the diaspora, the Holocaust, and a whole lot of hate. And God's like, you're welcome. That's it, right? That's it. That's what his chosen people, that is their defining characteristic. And that's because struggle has been synonymous with God's people since he personally picked a fight with their leader and changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which literally means fight in God. So he's kind of telegraphing it there, saying like what to expect here, right? Expect to fight. So I want to read that story because it's a fascinating story. It's one of those stories that the first time I ever read it, I was like, what are you doing, Lord? This is nonsense. It's crazy, but there's so much good stuff in here. I want you to hear it. Okay, because Jacob was left alone. And a man pops up and wrestled with him until the breaking of day, all night. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, against Jacob, he, the other guy, touched the socket of his hip, boop, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he, this mystery man, said, let me go for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Seems like a strange thing to say, but there you go. So the other guy says to him, what's your name? And he says, Jacob. And the stranger says, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Another weird thing to say. But then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And then he blessed him there. This is a weird bunch of events, right? It's just like, it's not, you're not watching this going, of course, that's what he does next. No, it's like, okay, strange. He blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Makes sense, right? No, that's weird. That's a weird story, right? You don't go, hey, let me go. And he goes, not until you bless me. That would never occur to me. If I was wrestling with some guy, I'd be like, bless me. And he's like, oh, you got me. That's weird. So anyway, in this, though, he has there's a bunch of clues going on there. And he calls the place, you know, oh, where I wrestled, you know, I saw God face to face. And so we're going, wait, are you thinking that you think this guy was God? Well, to confirm what Jacob suspected about this mystery man, Hosea recaps the story later on in the Old Testament and says this about it. He says, yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. Just to clear that up for everyone. Okay, so he did. He wrestled with the Lord. And that's an amazing realization right there, because that means there's a lot that we can learn from this passage. Because in it, in this story, that means that we're given a very point blank picture of the way God himself handles us in his plan, right? This is him doing it. There's no mistaking it. And here's the big headline. He wants to wrestle. He wants to wrestle. I mean, that's, I thought it was all lovey-dovey, you know, I'll carry you through. No, he wants to wrestle. He wants to grapple. He wants to get on the ground. Why? Why would the Lord want to wrestle with his people? Well, I'm glad I asked. Because I see, because I struggled with this. This is one of those things. This is what the Bible does. It just invites you into the struggle. And I can see three reasons to wrestle in this story. One, it's relational. Two, it's educational. And three, it is transformational. So first off, let's ask the question, how is it relational? How is it not? That's wrestling, right? Wrestling is one of the most personal things we can do. I just went to my first wrestling match for one of the youth in the church, and I was just like, oh no. Like, there is a lot of grabbing and twisting and sweating on each other, and I'm just like, that is unbelievable. I mean, I was appalled that this is legal. But it was a sight to behold, and I rooted for everyone to just be friends afterward. But it is one of the most personal things that you can do, because wrestling, no matter what, it forces us to focus on our opponent only. When you're wrestling, you don't think about what you're gonna make for dinner, right? You're not like, got him in a headlock, and you're just like, pizza again? I don't know. Or, you know, you don't think about what Netflix show that you want to binge next. You don't. You're focused in. You do that stuff at church, right? That's where you think about dinner and everything else. Oh, he's blathering about something up there. That's what you do at church. You're busted. I see you. I know what you're up to out there. I mean, honest. No, but I make jokes, but I'm serious. I am serious. This is what we can do at church, because here's an unfortunate truth. We can come to church. We can sing a worship song. We can listen to a great sermon from your favorite pastor. Or we can even hold hands to pray and still never really meet God one-on-one. It can happen. It's a travesty. Because here's the thing, even if he's in the room with you, there is a big difference between being around God and being alone with him. Amen. And it can be terrifying, especially if you think the wrestling match is coming. Like Jacob, we must, though, this is such a part of it, this is what he wants from us, we must meet him alone in that one-on-one if we want a personal rather than an environmental relationship. That's where the magic happens, guys. It's daunting, but it has to happen. And then when two people share sustained alone time, right? Just put them in a room. You put any two people in a room together and give them a bunch of alone time. What happens next depends on what they want, the desires of their heart. That's how you can tell what's going to happen. Because if the two people try to impose opposing wills, we call that wrestling, right? I want this, you want that, and we're trying to like submit the other person. But if the two people are trying to impose the same will, we just call it dancing. We're like, yes, we want to do the same things. And as much as we'd like to think that we dance with God, here's the truth. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. All right? You're not in step with him if you got any flesh in there. So until we've turned over 100% control to the Spirit, we are all at odds with God. And if we find ourselves one-on-one with him, then that means we should expect a wrestling match. Okay, so that's your first bit of bad news, right? You just gotta know that. As long as we're in some way contradicting him, we're gonna wrestle. But here's the thing that you gotta remember. Wrestling with God means allowing his opposition, okay? It's not a one-sided fight. If you really are wrestling with him, it has to go both ways. We can't say things like, I refuse to believe in a God who allows suffering. You know, that's not going to happen. Or a loving God wouldn't have written such a difficult book. Done, I disagree with him, right? Because when you do that, you're rejecting God for challenging your beliefs. And that's not wrestling. That's not dancing either. That's just avoidance. That's a way to just get yourself, excuse yourself from the fight altogether. To say, I've already decided that it's not even worth fighting about because I'm right. But here's the thing, we can't claim the right to question God if we deny him the same claim, right? That's a dictatorship, not a relationship. You don't get to say he can't be away without him saying you can't be away, you gotta be this way. It goes both ways. But it seems that God wants to wrestle because of this, because it produces a real personal relationship that forces us to pit our ideas against his. Right? And he says, hey, may the best truth win. He wants that to happen because it does some magical stuff. When you take your best ideas and pit them, guess who wins, right? But during all of that time under tension, all of that back and forth, we discover how wrestling is also educational, right? Because we're figuring things out. Bless you. As our struggle becomes more sustained, we continue to struggle on and on and on. Certain truths just naturally pop out. Right? Like when the Lord fights all night to test Jacob's determination to see, are you going to keep going? Are you going to keep going? And then all of a sudden he just shuts things down when he just touched the socket, right? He just touched the socket of his hip. They're wrestling, right? Like, which means all night is strong, as much as you can possibly do. And then he just interrupts things with a touch. He touches the socket of his hip and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint forever. Permanently crippled with a finger. Boop. What? Again, weird, right? So right here, you know, you got to put yourself in Jacob's spot there. Jacob's got to be wondering what's going on. How is this happening? I mean, I thought I was doing pretty good all night. And then all of a sudden, secret kung fu poke. And then I'm done. Right? What's going on? When he sees that this guy could have crippled him at any point with a touch. So what does he learn from this? What can he learn? What can we learn from this? It's this strange turn of events. Why is it? What's going on here? Well, I'll tell you, if you just stop and think about it, right? Well, this guy is clearly more powerful. Jacob's realizing that. He could have won it. If he can do that with a touch, he's clearly more powerful. But for some reason, he's been letting the struggle go all night. Why? So he figures out that, I mean, there's got to be a reason. So because he knows there must be a reason other than winning, because he could have done that at any point, something behind this struggle. Well, so Jacob doesn't let go, but he does let his opponent know that he's aware that he's outmatched, saying, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Because as they both know, without a doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Okay, that's a way to let him know that he knows. Whoever you are, I know that you could beat me, no problem, with a finger. So if you're so great, bless me. And when the Lord sees that Jacob is both admitting weakness, I'm the lesser, and asking for help, give me that blessing, well, he gives it to him by saying, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have now struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Because right there, that's the only hint It's the only hint that Jacob needs to finish learning his lesson, because I can just imagine the moment of where he's putting these pieces together and he's like, okay, hang on a second. Yeah, sure, we've been fighting all night, but how do you know that I have struggled with gotcha? Gotcha, you're the Lord. Oh my goodness. Like this is, he just led him into that by giving him that name, and then he had to just engineer it. And with that revelation of the mystery man's identity, all of a sudden, I mean, imagine that when you realize you're wrestling with the Lord, not just some random dude who jumped out of nowhere, right? When you have that, the implications of what he learns doesn't just blow his mind, it changes his mind. Because now all these dominoes are falling, right? I've been wrestling with him. He's been letting me do this all night. He gave me the blessing and said, I've seen God. That's a whole lot to take in, right? Because as our wrestling teaches us lessons, it also becomes transformational. It just changes who you are. When we wrestle, the experience changes us. It forces us, it makes us understand and accept who we are in relation to our opponent. And we learn that, when we learn our battle is unwinnable, two big things happen that'll change you, okay? One, our opponent gets glorified. He's greater, he's better. And two, we get humbled. I'm lesser, that's for sure, and he's greater. And accepting that reality is the first step in accepting the new identity, transforming into that new person, that new identity that God wants to give, the same way that he wanted to give Jacob that new identity we call Israel. Because likewise, when we learn from our God-given struggles, we change. Every single one of them. It has that same ability to change us. And our new identity comes into focus as it happens, and you'll start to see these things. This is, what can you deduce from these things that are happening in your struggles right now? You know, we are a people who are allowed to wrestle with God, even though he could put us down with one finger, right? And he should. Like, why is he letting us fight? Why is he letting it go on? We are a people given the grace and mercy to take the time to keep on fighting so that we can learn our lesson from these self-centered fights. He's letting that happen, right? He could end it at any point, but the fact that it's still going, that's grace and mercy to learn the lesson that we need to grow. And we are a people blessed with an invincible ally once our struggle turns into submission and God's will becomes our will. That's at that moment when you say, oh my goodness, I give in, I surrender. He's your ally. He's on you. You're not fighting with him anymore, because we are a people who are transforming from wrestlers to dancers. That's what we're changing. And by the way, that's dancing, kids. That ain't wrestling. It's more like that. It is completely, it's something that you do. You orchestrate to work with your opponent, not against them. Then they become your ally. And so back to David, wondering about, you know, what were the struggles that David was given that changed him? Well, we know there's a bunch of them. David cites some of them. It's clear David's struggles taught and transformed him to trust in that relationship that he had personally with God, because he explains it. He explains where his surprising strength comes from when he talks about what he learned from his former fights. He says, look, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, history in my old fights, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine, right? And we know that he is humbly submitted to God's greatness because he's glorifying him as the ally with the supreme superior strength that he needs. When he says, I come against, he's talking to Goliath, right? And this is his big pitch. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, for the battle is the Lord's, right? You and I, we're going to fight. You and the world, we're going to fight. We're going to do whatever, but it's always just one poop touch away, right? The battle is the Lord's. He's in control of the whole thing. It's by grace and mercy that we get to even do a struggle. And this is what somehow, somewhere, David learned that lesson from all that fighting bears and lions and stuff, or just being a dwarf, who knows? But somehow, some way, it was built. And so then he said, not me, but my ally. In the name of the Lord, I come at you. And then sure enough, sling ding dead, right? That's it. I want you to remember that. Sling ding dead. That's how things go. That's what working with the Lord produces. Victory. All right, when he's an ally, that is victory guaranteed. So let Israel, you know, God's chosen people, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let them praise his name with dancing, right? Not wrestling. Turn it into dancing, for the Lord takes delight in his people, even if he has to wrestle them into submission first. Whatever he's got to do to get you to surrender. Because here's the thing, he wants us to win. That's his total desire. That's why we get this grace. He wants us to win with him, but he crowns the humble with victory. So that's what he's got to get out of you. He's got to get us to be humble. And right there, that's the gospel in a nutshell. That's it. When I am weak, I am strong, right? Because it's this, it's knowing that losing a fight with God is winning a war against pride. That's a huge thing. That's a good thing, losing to win. And surrendering to his will puts his strength on our side. You don't lose power when you surrender, you gain it. It's the victory that comes from knowing our true strength is faith in God's strength, right? That's where it all comes from. He is power. He doesn't have power, he is power. And when we have him, we have access to that power. And that knowledge comes from the loving relationship with him that does whatever it takes to get us to just do the same thing that Jacob did, to admit weakness and ask for help. That's our instructions. Admit weakness, ask for help. That's when the fight changes. So to go back to the beginning, where do you wrestle most right now? Where do you wrestle most right now in your life? Maybe it's with your patience. Maybe your appearance. Maybe it's with your finances. It's somewhere. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's in scripture. It's a tough one. But whatever your answer is, I got good news. You're gonna lose. That's the best thing that could possibly happen. Good news is you're gonna lose. We were just created too weak to win against this world. You're gonna lose. And if you have a problem with that, well, then I'd advise you to take your complaint straight to the Creator, because you won't win that either. But you will learn from that fight, and you will be changed by it, because he's willing to. He's inviting us. He's willing to keep this fight alive, going all night, going as long as it needs to. That's that grace and mercy. He's going to keep it going until you're smart enough to see that the whole battle, everything that you're battling in your life right now, is for your benefit. He could have made it all gumdrops and lollipops, but he didn't on purpose. We're supposed to be figuring this thing out. And only when you realize that him restraining his infinite power takes infinite mercy, when he could have ended at any point. Infinite power, giving us this time, means giving us infinite mercy. And when you have that, maybe only then will you have strong enough faith to fully surrender. And that's the big moment. Because right there, when you finally surrender, when you give up, say you're greater, I'm the lesser. Well, then here's the blessing that you get. All of your other enemies flee. They're defeated instantly because you just became an ally of an undefeated, invincible king. So here's your take home. Okay, real easy. Here's what you do this week. All right, hurry up, let go, and give in. Right? All these fights that you're having anywhere are really just fighting God's will. Let it happen. Give into his will. And it's the only way that we're going to end all other battles before they begin. Amen? Amen? Amen, guys. Father God, we sure do love you. We love you, and we thank you for that transforming power that you give that comes only when we surrender. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to learn the lessons that strengthen our faith as you lead us to overcome all of our daily difficulties. And Lord Jesus, we seek to make your will our will with a real, authentic, one-on-one relationship with you and you alone. And to that, I hope we can all say, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.